fall holy days and into the period of time between the fall and spring once again. It will be at least 6 months from the beginning of the spring holy days, beginning with the Passover and days of unleavened bread. It is during this time in between the holy days in which we must pay close attention to how we are interacting with each other, around others, whether family or friends, and most importantly, in the eyes of God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. This period of time typically means the world falls more and more into deception. Satan and his demons want to make a habit out of creating chaos. However, with everything going on around us and us being back in our homes, normal routines, jobs, hobbies, commitments, and obligations, we cannot afford to simply just lay back and relax with our spiritual character and growth. We now need to apply all we have learned and use it in our daily routine because of the effects society will have in our lives. Believe me, things naturally will become worse before they get any better. Also, there are instances in our lives where often the solution to what is happening around us is a matter of looking in the right place. But we are not focused enough spiritually and mentally to overcome what is happening around us. By this, I mean the situations that life presents toward us, and particularly when it involves the spiritual aspect of our Christian thought process. And it's inevitable conflict with the human nature. Sometimes, life can be as simple as focusing on the task at hand by how we look at our spiritual fortitude. I've titled today's sermon, Never Lose Sight. Never Lose Sight. Today, I want to look at the concept of one of the words for the title today, and that is sight. I'm sure we are all familiar with the word sight, and it is something we do each and every waking moment in our lives, whether directly or indirectly, because we have been given our eyesight thanks to our Heavenly Creator when He made us into this world. We often take for granted our eyesight because there are those around the world who are either born blind or develop throughout time an eye disease that could hinder their sight, such as glaucoma. I want you to think for a moment to the last time you went to the eye doctor. Typically, either an optometrist or ophthalmologist will see you after an eye exam. This exam involves an optometrist technician to see you and sit you down throughout various tests for your eyes and see how you are in all of the following areas. They will take a picture of your eyes, see your pupils. They will take a look at the nerves in your eyes and see how they react and how they are. They will put you through a machine to determine color blindness, focus points with laser pointing, lights, and we'll run the ever-so-common puff test, where you get two puffs of air to measure the pressure in your eyes. Sometimes the most uncomfortable, I'm sure, because I have to get it done yearly. There are also instances in which you need to get your eyes dilated to measure the level of cataracts and see if you might need to get the lens installed in you through surgery in your future. Once you see the doctor, he or she will go over your chart and make appropriate recommendations based on how well or not you see. If need be, they will prescribe contact lenses or glasses to make you better see, as you need to be seeing, which is defined by the famous 20/20 eyesight, or better, depending on how you are. Well, the same concept that doctors apply with patients in their physical eyes can be the same measure we apply in our spiritual life. And I am referring to how we are viewed in God's sight. Let me ask you several questions to help bring about the main points for the sermon today. Number one, have you given thought of how everything we do daily looks in the eyes of God and His Son, Jesus the Christ? Number two, are we more focused on behavior that is good and pleasing in the sight of men rather than our Heavenly Father? Number three, what can we learn to apply in our lives knowing we are in the face of or presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? And number four, what can we do to maintain our spiritual eyesight pleasing in front of God and our Messiah? These four questions serve as the main points for today's sermon, and we will look at each of these areas individually, and therefore I pray, help us to grasp the importance of how we must never lose sight of what God and Christ expect from us. Let's look at the first area for the sermon today, and that is looking at whether we are placing more importance to what we do in the sight of men, or if we are choosing to give more importance to how we look in the eyes of God. All too often, mankind is worried about how they are viewed in the eyes of their fellow man, but forget about the importance of being acceptable in the sight of God. The world teaches us the importance of having our mindset be on the things that are not acceptable, good, and demonstrating Christ-like mentality. Human nature plays a key role in the development of this, and we have to be careful because sometimes we are faced with decisions that affect our life, and we don't even realize the emphasis on choices that are pleasing to man, but not in the eyes of God. All throughout God's Word, there are numerous examples of how nations and people were only focused on pleasing man, rather than having their eyes set on God's ways. And to follow the example left to us by our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Let's turn for our first scripture for today to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verses 43 and 44. Here we will read of the example of the people of Israel being rebellious and only focus on themselves. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 43 and 44. Reading out of the King James Version for today, and the word sight in these next few verses, I'm going to be taking it out of Strong 6440, which has no direct translation, but it means with, within, inner, or inward. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 43 and 44, it says, "And there shall you remember your ways, and all your doings, wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O you house of Israel, says the Lord God." God relates the story of rebellious Israel to focus and attentive to what is good in their own sight, and not look towards being good in the sight of the Lord. God does not take kindly to people and nations being focused on themselves and completely forgetting their regard for what God has done for them and us in our lives, the same same principle applies. Let's continue here in the book of Ezekiel, but this time turning to chapter 36, verses 31 and 32. We'll continue reading of rebellious Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 31 and 32. It says, "Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, says the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel." The continuing predicament of Israel, loathing in their own wickedness and abomination, is seen in these verses, and something we need to be paying close attention to in our own lives. We must not let things that are done in iniquity cloud our judgment, because we think it is something good in our own sight. Just like Ezekiel was chosen to warn the people of Israel of their wrongdoing and wicked ways, the same is seen here in the Old Testament by the prophet Jeremiah. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. Here we read of God warning Jeremiah of the wrong of the house of Judah. And we'll pick up a few verses there. Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verses 1 through 3. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." And dropping down to verses 13 through 15, here in Jeremiah chapter 7, it says, "And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim." God speaks to Jeremiah, telling him to warn the house of Judah to repent of their wicked ways. They have corrupted every aspect of their relationship with God, even corrupting their rising early in the morning to do everything but have their communion with God. They forgot about His everlasting love in the morning and at all times, having done wicked in His sight. That is not how you start the day. We should be grateful to God for giving us another day of life, filled with joy inside, and count the blessings He has given us, and come to Him through our daily prayer, meditation, and early morning study of His Word. God continues His message to Jeremiah regarding the people of Israel over here in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Here we will read of our Heavenly Father giving a clear and specific message once again. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, says the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings." God wants the people of Israel to have a spiritual renewal by letting go of everything that is displeasing in the sight of the Lord. God expects spiritual fruitfulness on our part to repent and heal our broken hearts. The actions done on our part in our lives are always present with God, and all is revealed through what we do in our daily actions, our daily thoughts, and our own intentions from the heart. There is absolutely not one thing that can go by our minds that God does not already know and has access to. We are completely immersed in God's sight because He is ever-knowing, omnipresent, and completely aware of what we are doing at all times. This is why it is important for us to realize just how much everything we do needs to be good in His sight and not fall like the people of Israel by being consumed with this physical world. Let's read about this very point in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 13. A familiar verse to all of us explaining how to manage the sinful nature. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is absolutely nothing we can hide from God. His sight is always on us, especially when it comes to our spiritual side, our hearts, minds, and soul. Nothing can be hidden from God. We must maintain ourselves right in His sight. Well, God does not always talk about striking the people of Israel without a solution in mind because of His everlasting love and mercy for His chosen people. And the same concept can be applied with us as well, as we live each and every day, but provides a way for us to follow what His word guides us to. Let's turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here we will read of a message from God of striking. It says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The prophet Hosea presents significant future events. God will strike us, but we'll always have a way to repair ourselves to be good in his sight. God will allow ourselves to be broken down because of what we have done, but he will never completely leave us because he wants us to change from our wicked ways and continue on the path to righteousness, the path of being good in his sight. Let's look at the second area for the sermon today, and that is, how do we begin to be good in the sight of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? The New Testament is filled with many examples of how we are looked at from God through the teachings of our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Being good in the sight of God means we should be walking in the footsteps of the example brought to us by Christ as he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. As we will see throughout the next several scriptures, Christ made it abundantly clear to always do things that were pleasing to God the Father through all his actions, and presented us with many words of wisdom for all of us to apply. We cannot be looked at with good spiritual eyesight from God if we do not apply what the scriptures have set out for us to do. Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Here we will read of Christ relating the purpose of being good in the sight of God. And these next several verses, we're going to be reading out of the meaning of sight from Strong's 1715, from the Greek word empros-ten, E-M-P-R-O-S-T-H-E-N, meaning in front of, in place, or sight. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Christ relates the purpose of how all that was revealed to mankind was given to people of lesser known status and titles, because God the Father deemed it good in his sight. Christ is explaining pertinent events concerning the future, and how all that was given to mankind was given not to the mighty and wise of that time, but to the common person of no stature at all. Remember, brethren, we are but only a chosen few of God's spiritual Israel. We have been called by God to follow his will and to apply the teachings of Jesus Christ, because God wants us to be good in his sight, knowing full well that Christ is also our advocate and watching over us as well. This thought process can be continued on in the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 21. You don't have to turn there, just put it in your notes. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, it says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Let's do turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Here we will read of what the Apostle Paul says regarding the sight of God. Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul talks about the qualities that are evident in the sight of God. As God's elect, we were called to be a part of the purpose God has instructed us to do in His sight. Let's look at the third area for the sermon today, and that is how through examples in the New Testament, we are looked at in the face of God, before God, and in the presence of God. There are numerous examples in which we can learn the very essence of how to be adequately prepared to be good in the sight of God, especially when it comes to the teachings of our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Our daily conduct should reflect the purpose of knowing we must never lose sight of what God and Jesus the Christ expect from us to do. Each day that we are given the blessed opportunity to be on this earth, God purposely set us aside from the rest of the world to fulfill an important and great purpose, even before we were ever born. And we can apply the principles from Scripture in our own life because it is truly a blessing to be called into God's truth. Let's turn to the book of Luke, and we'll pick up a few verses there. Luke chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Here we will read of when John the Baptist's story is revealed. And it is going to be using these next several verses, Strong's 1799, for the Greek word enopion, E-N-O-P-I-O-N, meaning in the face of, before, or in the presence of. Luke chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. It says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. The story of John the Baptist is foretold. The purpose and incredible plan God had for him is revealed, knowing his ministry will be good in the sight of God the Father, and understanding how even when he was in his mother's womb, he was great in the sight of the Lord. When we were called, God knew the exact moment in time this was going to happen in our lives, whether since birth or years afterwards. And yet God's plan and timing is always perfect, and his will determined the way we are looked at in his sight. Let's continue here in the book of Luke and turn to chapter 15, verses 21 through 24. Here we will read of the familiar parable of the lost son, spoken by our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Luke chapter 15, verses 21 through 24. It says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The parable of the lost son presents a valuable example to all of us, in that if we become lost in our ways, we confess our sins, repent of our past ways, and know that God will never leave us or forsake us. And the love of Christ, our Messiah, is everlasting forever. He will never abandon us. Let's turn just a page or two over to Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, "And he," speaking of Christ to the Pharisees, "said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Christ presents the example of how the Pharisees and all of mankind stands for is not good in the sight of God. We cannot fall into this same behavior by placing what is regarded by mankind as good and forget everything God and Christ have taught us. I think that is evident now more than ever, especially during the last 2 years or so, with what mankind has done to their fellow man and how everything viewed in this world is good. And if you don't agree with it, then you're wrong. Christ's words are very clear. We cannot esteem what man says or does higher than what God's word presents to us. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3, and we'll pick up a few verses there as well. Romans, chapter 3, beginning in verses 9 through 11. It says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." And dropping down to verses 18 through 20. It says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Paul talks about the importance of knowing, no matter who we are or where we come from, we are no less deserving of judgment based on Scripture. To not have the fear of the Lord is to not be justified in His sight. Let's continue here in the book of Romans, but this time, chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Here we read of Paul talking about how our conduct should be. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth with you, leave peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing thou shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Our daily contact with the people we know at the personal level says a lot about us, and how our actions are deemed worthy or not in the sight of God. The example of Christ in this physical world should be our daily standard, because God will take care of us. And knowing how we are, interact, and what we do in times of need for our enemies will prove whether or not we are doing the things that are pleasing in His sight by following the teachings of our Messiah of what to do with others. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here we read of the exhortation given by Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Paul's message relates the importance of knowing we must live a quiet and peaceful life, based on our continuous prayer for people in authority. God wants all to be saved through our Messiah. It is good in His sight to continually immersed in fervent prayer. This is our expectation from God in Christ to be good in their sight. Let's look at the fourth and final area for the sermon today. And that is knowing the qualities that are needed to be good in the sight of God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. We need to understand there are things in our lives which we can do daily to help maintain and sustain our view in the sight of the Lord as good. Now, we are not going to achieve this to a perfection. Remember, we are far from perfect. Living in this imperfect world in a physical and corrupt body. However, that does not mean we cannot strive to do what is expected of us daily, especially when it comes to knowing our expectations as God's called and chosen few are clearly outlined in Scripture, because God is always paying attention to us, both what we do on the outside but our innermost self as well. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. James, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. It says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James presents the importance of how to contrast the effects of Satan in this world and how our renewal of good deeds and intentions must be present in both our physical actions and our hearts. James's words for us to follow are exemplary because it acknowledges the concept of how we should humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father and present ourselves worthy in His presence. Mr. Pastor Fleming touched on this during his last sermon when he spoke of how to strengthen our humility with God and with our fellow man. Let's turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. 1 John, chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Here we will read of John's words of what we need to strive for daily. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us." John is very specific in his words to us. Our daily actions will always say more about us than any possible talk. We must always take into account how God views our hearts and intentions with what we ask of him. Our focus should be on the belief in Christ and follow his commandment to love one another. Our goal daily should be to follow the commandment of God in Christ and ask the Holy Spirit given to us for the guidance in all we do, and to ensure all we are doing is conforming to the will of God. Let's turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Here we read about Paul's message to us with who we are. And in these next few verses, it'll be using Strong's 27:14, these next two verses, Strong's 27:14 from the Greek word katenopion, katenopion, meaning in front of, before, or in the sight of. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are not as many as there are in the world without the truth and knowledge of God's word. We are called by God in Christ to follow and obey sincerity and truth." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight." This is part of what we need to put in practice of how to be in our lives in front of God the Father and Jesus to Christ. Our Messiah's sacrifice is part of what makes us the way we are in God's sight. Let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Here we will read of Paul speaking on how we ought to live our life in God's view. And in this verse, it'll take the word sight from Strong's 3844 from the Hebrew word parah, P-A-R-A-H, meaning near, from beside, at the vicinity of. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, it says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And in verse 12, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Paul's words are clear. We are to know that we are not righteous by the law, but by our own faith in God. That is the true measure of how we are viewed by God and our belief in Jesus the Christ. We have learned the importance of knowing how God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, view our actions daily, our true intentions of the heart, and everything related to how we treat our fellow man. God is very specific in His Word. We are not to attempt to please man and be in man's ways before God's ways. And we cannot put our trust in man and what the world wants us to do, but rather trust in what is written in Scripture, given by inspiration of God and our Messiah. In order to be considered good in the sight of God, our Christian way of life needs to be around following the Holy Scripture, knowing God has chosen us to fulfill a great purpose in life, and learning from what our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, taught His disciples to do. We must never lose sight of what God and Christ expect from us, and we are encouraged to continue to be good in the sight of God and Christ, and to allow our Heavenly Father, our Messiah, and the Holy Spirit work in us daily, to make sure we abide by the absolute perfect will of God. Let's conclude today's sermon in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. It says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That does conclude my message for today.